Man, you guys are fired up. All right, grab your seats. We got to get to work. Who is ready for a life-changing weekend? Man, this particular weekend is going to be absolutely amazing. How many of you guys are ready for that transformational weekend in your life? I've been thinking about this weekend all for the last couple of weeks, and this particular weekend is going to be really amazing. I believe that every single person in this room is here for a reason. I believe that you were hand-chosen for this day. Yes, there are people in this room that shouldn't be here, in the sense that they have had to overcome obstacles that most people could not have overcome. There are people in this room that had scheduled their own death, overcame that, and got to this room, preparing themselves for something greater. There are people here in this room that their lives were so out of order, out of focus, and out of priority that they weren't going to get here. But because of coming to the other events this year, they were able to put things in order, get things ready, prepare for a season of harvest in their business, and they are here today. There's a gentleman here who just 1 month ago at the last event had scheduled his death on the last night of the event. He got himself here. He had an amazing experience. I saw him yesterday with a big glowing smile on his face. He is here for a purpose. There was a family that about a week ago, canceled this entire event. They canceled their airline tickets, their hotel reservations, their tickets. They saw Danny's video the other morning when she's praying for somebody to uncancel their canceled reservations. The entire family is here just a couple of days ago. Yes. This room is full of stories like that, and this room is the chosen room of people that are going to take this message into the new year. Who's ready for that? Woo! It's going to be awesome. All right, the seat you're in today is the seat for the entire day. You will probably camp out in this seat, but make sure that you're clean and taking your stuff with you. And it's going to be the seat you're here using all day. How many of you guys have a cell phone? Turn it off. This is not an event to kind of be checking your texts and your emails and all that kind of stuff. It not only distracts you, it distracts those around you. And sometimes the thing that's going to change your life is a single word from Danny's mouth. So please turn these off, eliminate that distraction. There's absolutely no audio or video recording of this event. You guys know that. You've been here before. You will have access to an MP3 of the weekend. All right, how many of you guys have an ethics agreement? All right, grab that out. Anybody not have one? If you do not have one, raise your hand. Is there anybody here that can grab? There's a couple up here. Oh, sorry. There's only two here, but there you go. If anybody has any extras, lady right there. Awesome. Everybody got one? A couple more in the back? All right. For some reason, the print keeps getting smaller on these. All right, please read along with me. I, Brian Niederhaus, understand and agree to the following, that this seminar is an open seminar and that there are other people here this weekend like myself from their respective companies that have made a considerable investment in attending this seminar and developing their businesses. I understand and agree that I will honor and respect others in attendance at this event and the entire weekend. I will not represent myself, my company, my business, or DannyJohnson.com in an unethical manner. I understand that while I'm encouraged to make new contacts and friends this weekend, that this event is not a recruiting forum or opportunity to solicit others about my products, my business, or opportunity. I understand that I am responsible for my own actions, and that if I am found dishonoring others or their businesses here this weekend, I will immediately be asked to leave the seminar without refund, and I will not be allowed to attend any further Danny Johnson seminars. Please sign that. This is the thing that makes this a safe place to learn and grow, uncover some stuff, dig down deep, and not be worried about what else is going on around you. Please pass those to the middle aisle, and someone will come and collect those. We good? All right, the next point I want to make is really important. This is your very first dynasty? Wow. That's awesome. That's like 3/4 of the room. That's fantastic. So dynasty is very different than First Steps. This is very much a group exercise event. So at First Steps, you could leave the room and maybe you'd miss something really awesome that Danny was talking about, but that was about it. But if you leave the room during this event, you not only will miss out on an amazing exercise that could completely change your life, but you're also going to be robbing others in your group of an opportunity to role play and to work on some new things. So if you guys could really make an effort to be here during the sessions, use the breaks to hit the restrooms and get your coffee and do all those other things, but it's really critically important that we're in our seats all day long because there's so much interaction. This is a workshop. Who's ready to get dirty? Who's ready to get serious about this? So we need to get to work. Who's ready to go to work? All right. Well, as you guys know, Danny just does not allow anybody up here on this stage. She only allows people to have a proven track record of success. People that have been able to help others in a lot of different areas. And this particular gentleman has come all the way from Japan. Yes. He hasn't been here at this event for many, many years, but this is such an exciting thing to hear and see. This gentleman has been able to excel in many areas of his life and has done some outrageous things and is going to be able to share some wisdom that maybe you already have overlooked, maybe something that you need to be reminded of, or maybe you're going to be hearing this for the first time. But I would like you to please help me welcome Mr. Suzuki Honda Kawasaki Mitsubishi Kataya-san.
Thank you. Hi. Very much. Hello. How are you? Hi. My name is Suzuki Honda Kawasaki Mitsubishi KTM. You have to say it. Suzuki Honda Kawasaki Mitsubishi KTM. Go ahead. Suzuki Honda Kawasaki Mitsubishi KTM. Hai. Nihongo de hanashimasu ka? Namae wa nan desu ka? Ohayou gozaimasu. Konnichiwa. Nodo ga kawakimashita ka? What is my name? Okay, we practiced a couple times. Today, I'm here to talk to you about programming. How many of you know about programming? How many of you are familiar with programming? Oh, How many of you have programmed before? Anybody? Wow, lots of programmers. Oh, I see. Okay. How many of you have been programmed before? We're going to do a little experiment here today to talk about programming. How many of you would like to learn about programming? Oh, only some hands raising. This very important message about programming. How many of you want to learn about programming? Okay, very good, excellent. I need to have a volunteer. One volunteer for the programming message. What's my name? Kawasaki. No, you have to say it like this. Suzuki Honda Kawasaki Mitsubishi KTM. Hi. Okay. I program, volunteer. Who has been my volunteer? Oh, let's see. Volunteer. We need good volunteer. Nobody raising hand. No, stop. Wait. I choose you. You don't choose. Well, thank you very much, though. Thank you. Hi. Okay. You want to be a volunteer, sir? You walking? Okay, come up here. You be my volunteer. Give him a hand, please. Give him a hand. Yay! All right, that's right. I'll treat you good, brother. Okay. Okay. Okay, what kind of computer is this? Okay, this one, old computer. This looks like Frisbee computer. Okay. Okay, we're going to do comparison between... Oi! What's my name? Suzuki Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. Okay, comparison today between this computer and this computer. They're very similar, but they have difference, okay? Now, this computer, very difficult to program. Very difficult to program. Most of you would say yes, very difficult to program, right? Okay, this computer, very easy to program. All you do is sit in front of TV. Programming done. Very easy to program. This computer has lots of memory. Okay? This computer has selective memory. Very selective memory. Just remember, everything I say is not personal. So this computer has selective memory and likes to remember negative. Right? Ooh. This computer have artificial intelligence. This computer have genuine stupidity. But have access to infinite intelligence. This computer, easy to reprogram. This computer, difficult to reprogram. This computer have hard drive. This one, floppy disk. Don't take it personal. It's a very old notes, okay? How many in here remember floppy disk? Oh, see, you're not the only one. Okay. All right, this computer, very expensive. Spend thousands, okay? This computer, how much do you spend to reprogram? Most people, they don't spend to reprogram. Now, this computer has no emotion. This computer learns on emotion. No emotion, no learn. This computer must have emotion to reprogram. No emotion, no reprogram. can shut power off. This computer never shuts off. Cannot shut it off. Even when the lights go out, this computer's still running. Still working. How many of you, your computer working a lot? How many of you here to learn to reprogram your computer? Right? Thank you very much, sir. You've been very good, very wonderful. Hey, give him a hand, please. Hey, good job. Good job, good job. Okay, now we're going to do a second demonstration. You ready for demonstration number two? You sure? What is my name? Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. Okay, Mr. Chad, you are amazing, sir. We would like to have demonstration, the beginning of demonstration number two. And when you hear this, I want you together, if you hear something and you know the words, I want you to say it, okay? How many of you get to say the words? If the person sitting next to you is not saying it, you give them a little jab like that. With a smile. You can get away with a lot with a smile. Okay, please begin, sir. Oh, how many of you remember this song?
Hot dogs.
Who knows this song?
Armor hot dogs.
Oh.
What kinds of kids eat Armor hot dogs?
It's an oldie.
Fat kids, skinny kids, kids who climb on rocks. Tough kids, sissy kids.
Even kids with chicken pox love hot dogs.
Armor hot dogs.
Oh, man.
The dogs' kids love to bite.
That song.
Picking it up.
Pause, thank you. Wait,
walk down the street. We get the funniest looks.
Who knows this one?
Everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, with a monkey.
Wow, good job!
People say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Next one, please.
Meow, 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 meow,
meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow, meow. Adam's family.
The House Today Museum. When people come
nice.
To see them, they really are a scream. The Adam's family.
Neat. Sweet.
You guys are very good. You have good talent. Okay, next one, please.
Are y'all ready, kids?
Who knows this?
Aye, aye, Captain.
What
I
is this?
I
hear you.
Aye, aye,
what is it?
Oh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow
SpongeBob.
And porous is he?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
If nautical nonsense be something you wish,
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Then drop on the deck and
you know this song!
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Wow. SpongeBob SquarePants! SpongeBob SquarePants! SpongeBob SquarePants!
Next one, please! How many know? What is this?
Now, this is a what story is all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down, and I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how
sit
I became
it.
The prince of a town called Bel Air.
Fresh Prince. Is that it? No words?
I want my baby back.
Chili, baby back ring.
I want my baby.
Chili, baby back ring.
How many of you know this one?
I got my baby
next
back.
Next one, please.
Now the world don't move.
What is this?
The feet are just one drum. What might be right for you?
You know all of them.
May not be right for some. A man is born, he's a man.
I see lots of people singing. Next one, please. this one's nice.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to
go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. Come on, sing it.
You can see our troubles are all the same.
Isn't this so feel good?
Everybody knows your name.
It feels so good.
You wanna go where people know. People are all the same.
Next song. You wanna
there's something strange in the neighborhood.
I don't remember this one.
Who you gonna call? There's something weird.
Exciting and
what is it? Love Boat.
Come aboard. We're expecting you. And love.
Life's this is that fancy way. Next one.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
Come on, sing.
Oh, apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
I'd like to teach the world to sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to
know the world
and keep it company.
That's the real thing.
I'd like to teach the world
what
to sing
in perfect.
Band-aid, cause Band-Aid stuck on me.
I don't know what this is. Next one.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road.
What is this?
Again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and
old
a
girls.
Confidant.
Old girls?
And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew.
Okay. Who knows this?
You would see the biggest gift.
Okay, next one. I don't know this one. What is this one?
So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke. You broke. You're not
you know
about to be away.
Yeah.
It's like you're always stuck in second gear.
Oh, you guys are good.
When
next one.
Day, a week, a month, or even your year, but I'll be there for you.
Next.
There's nothing like the face.
Whoa, who remembers this one?
A kid eating a Hershey bar. There's nothing like it you'll ever see.
Come on, sing it.
A face as happy as it can be. There's nothing like the face of a kid when he's munching
right
on
here.
The greatest taste
good old days.
Hershey, the great American chocolate bar.
Next. What is this? Jeopardy, good grief. Next one. You have Brady Bunch? What is this? Next one. Next one.
To all beef patty special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and
there's no
need to fear. Underdog is here.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale, of a fateful
trip. Remember this one?
That started from this tropic boy, aboard this tiny ship.
Well, I've seen it.
Was a mighty sailor man, skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set
sail used to
that
watch
day
it?
For a three-hour
Come on, raise
tour.
Your hand.
A three-hour tour. The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the middle would be lost. The middle would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle. With Gilligan, the skipper too. A millionaire and his wife.
There you go! See?
And here on Gilligan's Isle.
Okay, very good. Okay, fantastic. You guys did very good. Give yourself a hand. Yeah, very good. See, you were all singing along so very well. Hi. What's my name? So, some of those were pretty old. Very old programs. And within a couple seconds, your computer has instant recall. How many of you, some of those you haven't heard in years, decades? How come you can remember a commercial or a TV show or a jingle word for word that you haven't heard for 20 years, and then when you're in front of a prospect, you forget the closing question? And some of you were too cool to sing along. But that is the doorway to your reprogramming. No emotion, no reprogram. Your mind is very powerful. The difference between where you are today and who you want to be and where you want to go is only 6 inches. It's right here. Your mind is your home. Would you let me come into your house and back up a truck full of nasty, sick, disgusting trash, dirty, stinky, rotten, maggot-filled diapers and rotten food and open your front door and back that up and dump that all inside your home? Then why do you let negative influences, negative people, negative programming into your mind? Why do you passively allow friends, family, media, social influences to dump trash into your mind? And then you come to an event like this and you sit like this. How valuable is your mind? You made the investment to be here. Now be here. This event, this weekend, is not on trial. Engage. Have fun, smile, lean forward. No emotional content, no reprogram. How many of you are ready to get emotional? You say, I don't need emotion, that's stupid. Then your computer will be stuck. So, what's my name? Suzuki Honda Mitsubishi Kawasaki KTM. You have been a very good audience here today. I have been very excited to see the power of your computer and to learn about how we have been programmed. And now you know how powerful your computer is. And you are going to start on a journey this weekend for 3 days of reprogram. Right? How many of you are excited to be reprogrammed? So, with that, hi, ohayou gozaimasu. Nihongo de hamashitemasu ka? Nodo ga kawakemashita ka? Do you know what that means? It means I'm thirsty. Okay, adios, bye-bye.
Sitting down. Get your backside in here and sit down. Hey, wow, nice to see you again, huh? Wow, looking mighty fine. Oh, hello? Oh, welcome. So nice to see you. Excuse me. Hey, we got to get on with this. What are you laughing at, honey? Huh? Hi. Good morning. I so appreciate. Oh, look at this kiss ass. I love it. Oh, and another one. You know, I think I've seen you here before, both y'all. I think. Did you do something to it? These days you have to watch out. You know, people poison things like crazy. How's everything going? Well, good morning. My name is Mrs. Biscanetti. Hey, listen, if you want to pass this class, you got to start schmoozing a little bit, all right? My name is Mrs. Biscanetti. Let's try that together. Say, good morning, Mrs. Biscanetti. Not in your Latvian little accent or your South Africa or whatever the heck you're from. Let's try that again. I want it in mine, all right? You ready? Good morning, Mrs. Biscanetti. Okay, that'll work. That'll work. Okay, now listen. Welcome to the botany class. What are you laughing at? Am I showing myself somehow? Somebody's going like this. Is there a problem? Hey, I've been this way my whole life. Are you talking about something up? You trying to start a fight right now? Hey, not everybody was born with equals. Some are lopsided, some are bigger than the other. That's just, whoa, sorry about that. That's just how that goes. Anyway, here's the deal. Whoa, oh, apologize. You gotta be careful in these days. You know, someone will think there's sexual harassment going on. Okay, here's the deal. Welcome to my botany class. I understand you just got out of computer class, your programming class. Now, I know, you know, the botany class, typically only the nerds want to take this class, and some of you flunked last year, so you have to take the class. I understand how it goes. Listen, botany is as boring as it comes, but we're going to do whatever we can to help you pass the class as easy as possible. Are you with me? But you do have to pay attention. Do you understand? You do have to pay attention. So, what I like to do in my botany class is I like to make it as much as close to your everyday life as possible so you actually use this crap. So here's the facts. How many of you have ever put any kind of seed in the ground before? Oh, well, that's quite impressive. What did you grow, huh? What did you grow? What did you say? He grew tomatoes. What color were they? Oh, that's good. He grew red. Today you can get purple tomatoes, yellow tomatoes, green tomatoes. There's all kinds of... And what is that stuff called? GMO tomatoes. Anyway, okay, what did you grow? Mr. Mead, you've taken the class so many times. What did you grow? Huh? Corn. How'd it turn out? White or yellow? Sweet or... Huh? Yellow corn. Yellow corn's kind of nice. I like the white better. Makes a bit of popcorn. What about you, young lady? Squash, man, I had some squash come out this big before. It's quite amazing. Anyway, so okay, it looks like most of us have planted some seed in the ground before. I think that's a great thing. So now you're going to learn a little bit more about botany and how the whole thing works and how the seed works, how the ground works, how that is actually applied to our lives, our everyday lives. Because the bottom line, some of you ain't going to even make it through this class. I'm probably going to see some of you again. You're never going to use the information about botany, but you'll definitely use the information about a seed, soil, and your life, the tree of your life. So first, let's talk about soil. There's basically four types of soil. Can you say four?
Four.
I said four.
Four.
Okay, good job. All right, so there are four types of soil. Number one is hard. Hard. Can you say hard? Now, you have to try that again. I need to hear it. Hard. Can you got to get the thing in the back of the throat. Hard. Okay, good job, good job. So you got hard ground, okay? That's when you start to plant seed, and if it's on hard ground, the birds of the air come and they steal it away. Nothing comes of it besides poop for the bird. Do you understand? Not for you. You never get a harvest out of hard ground. You can plant all you like on hard ground. Nothing's ever going to come of it. All you're doing is creating bird seed. Okay, and you don't want bird seed. You're not creating bird seed. You're not in the business of creating bird seed. You need to create a harvest, not feed the birds. Do you understand? Some of you are planting seed on hard ground, and you can't figure out how come nothing is growing. Number two. Can you say number two? Rocky. Rocky. Come on, Rocky. You know who Rocky is, right? Come on, you know who? Rocky. Rocky ground is the second one. Now, what is that? That's when... You plant seed in the ground. The seed is able to go down a little bit, but then what happens is the sprout starts to come up a little bit, and the worries and the cares of this life choke the plant out, so therefore there is not the harvest. What is the worries and cares? You know, the negative people, the high drama situations, you know, those people. How many of you know people who are super high drama? They're always reacting about everything. You know, they like to gossip about everything. You know, everything is like a 10 in destruction and disaster. How many of you know people like that? Some of your family members, I know nobody here in the room is like that. Anyway, so the rocky ground. So because it doesn't have the appropriate space to grow, it doesn't grow. It never reaches its full maturation. Can you say maturation? Do any of you know what that is? Does someone in here know what maturation is? Okay, like 10% of the room are filled with liars. So let me just help everybody. Okay, so maturation is maturing. You know, maturation. You obviously flunked English too. Okay, so anyway, so maturing. It doesn't have the space, listen, the space to mature because it's crowded by thorn bushes. It's crowded by thistles. So therefore, it doesn't have the space for the roots, and it doesn't have the space for the plant or the tree to be able to spread out and grow. So for anything to grow, there has to be space for it to grow. Number three. Number three. Number tree. Okay, number three is, oh crap, I totally screwed that up. Number two was rocky. Number three was thorny, but I gave the definition of thorny for the rocky. I better fix that because it's not going to be like that on the test. So thorny is what I just explained, but I called it rocky. Listen, don't look at me like that. You do the same crap all the time. And then you argue that you got it right. At least I admitted I screwed the whole thing up. Okay, so thorny ground is what I just explained. Rocky ground is when the ground is filled with rocks. Kind of goes together, doesn't it? Real simple, huh? So there's rocks in the ground. What happens when there's rocks in the ground? The sprouts cannot spread and get solid enough to be able to shoot up and cause something to grow. So that's the rot, no root. Exactly. There's no root. No roots can start because there's too many rocks in the soil. So you got to get the rocks out of the soil, like the rocks out of your head. You know, your last class you were just in with the computer programmer, some weird guy with that stinking beard. He needs to shave. He needs to do something about that. Anyway, so here's the deal. I'm having a hot flash. So anyway, you better watch it with me. I'm telling you. So the rocks, just like what he showed, you got a bunch of trash in your head. And so does everyone else around you. And some of you are putting trash in your kids' heads. You're putting trash in your spouse's head, and you can't figure out how come they can't think positive. You've got a team you're working with at work, whether they're distributors or they're employees, they're your sales force, and they got rocks in their head. Why? We all got rocks in our head. But when there's too many rocks and not enough soil, there is no good root system. Without a good root system, yes, a sprout comes up, looks like it might live, bam, dead. Okay, the fourth one. So we got number one, what? Hard. Number two, rocky. Number three, thorny. Okay, number four. I need to hear you. Number four. All right, let's try it one more time. Number four. So number four is fertile. Fertile ground. What does that look like? Now that fertile ground is, man, that's just when it's that sweet spot. That soil is just beautiful. It's like black. It's smelly. It's moist. There's heat. When you stick your fingers in it, it's loose. You can feel the heat actually just inches below. Just inches below on the surface. You feel the heat that's in there. What does that mean? That is the perfect incubation process for a great harvest. Now, isn't it interesting? It's the same seed every time. But what determines whether or not there is a harvest is not the seed, but it's the environment that the seed is planted in. Your environment is everything. Because it's the same seed. Every seed comes fully equipped to reproduce itself. Fully equipped. In fact, you have to think about what's inside this apple, or even the seeds inside of, banana. I got here some handy seeds here. Let's talk about the seeds. So with these, it's itty-bitty seed. This is an apple seed, okay? This little tiny freckle of a seed has what in it? What's inside of a seed? Someone says life. Someone says an apple. Come on. An entire orchard is inside of this one seed. Not just life, not an apple, but an entire orchard that will produce for generations and generations and generations. You see, the seed is not on trial. The environment in which the seed is planted is on trial. And who's in charge of your soil? You're in charge of your soil. You're in charge of your soil and what the condition of your soil is. Is your soil hard ground? Is your soil filled with rocks? Are you surrounded? Is your soil surrounded by thorns and thistles? Or are you doing the work that every good farmer has to do? And that is tilling the soil, getting rid of the rocks, tearing away every ounce of all the weeds and the thorn bushes that are around the place in which you want to grow something to prepare it to be fertile soil so that this seed who has all the potential to feed for thousands of years, to feed for thousands of years, whether or not that soil is ready is up to you, the grower. It's up to you. You're in charge of the condition of your soil. No one else is. Your spouse is not in control of it. Your boss is not in control of it. Your sales force is not in control of it. Your coworkers are not in control of it. Your president, your prime minister, there ain't nobody in control of your soil but you. And what you submit your soil, which is your mind, to only you. Number two, seed. Let's talk about seed. There's two types of seed growth. One being voluntary, two involuntary. Now listen, this is not art class, ladies and gentlemen, so don't you... Okay, who left the chair there, huh? I'm watching you. I do have eyes in the back of my head. Here's some soil. Seed goes into the ground. Two things happen simultaneously. This will be on your test. Simultaneously. Can you say simultaneously with me? You have to say it with a little bit of nasal going on, okay? Simultaneously. Okay, perfect. So you plant the seed in the ground. Two things happen simultaneously. A sprout shoots up, a root shoots down and around. So at the same exact time, sprout goes up, here is roots. However far the roots can go, determine how big the branches go. The root system determines how big the tree gets. The root system determines how big the tree gets. So here's your tree. And on your tree is fruit. All kinds of fruit. So simultaneously this happens. So if the ground is hot and constricted, there ain't going to be any growth, right? There's not enough room and space, which means you have to get rid of some crap to make room for this kind of growth. So simultaneously we get a sprout. Through time we get a tree and we get a larger root system. Now, with your seed, there is a cycle to the seed and to seed growth. Let me show you how it works with our everyday life, okay? Now, does this all make sense to you? This will be on the test. You need to understand what you plant, you reap, correct? What you plant, you reap. But look at the side of how it works in us, in human beings. So you've got to establish your environment determines how fast your growth is, how big your growth is. Do you hear me? Your environment determines, the soil that's 6 inches in between your ears determines how big that plant is, determines how strong it is, how long it lasts. Okay? So the seed itself, for our minds, the way it's planted in our minds, first it starts with an experience. So the seed experience being planted in the ground, the heat of the soil is actually what breaks the outside of the shell of the seed itself. It actually softens it, the heat does. So it means it kind of creates a heat, a refinement, a friction in order for it to be transformed into its new being that it's going to be. So first it goes through an experience. After an experience, there has to be some kind of agreement between the soil and the seed, where the soil is doing its job and the seed is doing its job, where it's breaking down now. It's beginning to soften up, all right? So the seed gets planted. The soil says, yes, I've got the right environment. Are you hearing me? Yes, we got the right environment. This is fertile soil. Bam, that's agreement. From the agreement comes a belief system. How do we know what a belief system is? That just sounds crazy when we're talking about a seed, right? Belief. Without the experience, without the agreement, this does not form. And what's the belief? I'm going to grow. It starts to do what it was designed to do. But only when it has an experience, only when it has an agreement, does it begin to believe and produce behaviors. That's the next step. Experience, agreement, belief. Beliefs produce behaviors. Now this seed no longer is a seed, is it? What is it behaving like? It's behaving like a tree. It's behaving like its future. Now, this can be used positively or negatively. Because, for example, whatever you believe is what you behave like, whatever you behave like is what you produce, which is another experience. So when the seed falls off the tree, look at this voluntary versus involuntary. If the fruit falls off of the tree, it falls on the ground, no one picks it, what happens to the fruit? What happens to the fruit? It dies. The fruit dies. What happens after it dies? No, it rots. The fruit rots if it's not properly picked. So the fruit rots. After the fruit rots, then what happens? What was inside the fruit? The seeds. Do the seeds die? No. Where did the fruit fall from the tree and land? On ground, on top of soil. So it goes right back into the ground again. And this is involuntary growth. Now it reproduces itself again. But when that continues to happen, and you've got all those apples coming off of that tree and falling into the same ground, and those seeds now are going into the ground, involuntary growth, what does the soil now become? What does the soil now become? Is this soil fertile soil? Depleted, rocky, and what? Thorny. Because now you've got lots of sprouts in the same exact environment, the same exact space. Now there's not enough nutrients to fill 500 trees that fall off that tree. So now we're reproducing the same, and they're going to die because there's no room. It's being choked out by all the other ones that are around them. Some of you have some people in your life that are choking you out. Some of you have some habits that is choking out your dreams. Some of you have some traditions that are choking out your dreams. Some mindsets that are choking out your dreams. Some poor skill sets that are choking out your dreams. So how do we fix it? You fix it here with a different experience. So let me prove something to you. Let's look at the fruit of your life. This tree is the tree of your life. What is on your tree? How do you know what seed was planted in you? How do you know what seed was planted in you? I'm going to ask the question again, and I want to hear, hey, I want to see who my newest students are here in the class today. Where's our newest students? Raise your hands. You're brand new. You're here at Creating a Dynasty for the very first time. Welcome to class. So for those of you, you're here for the very first time, I want to know, how do you know what seed was planted in you? It's by the fruit in your life. The fruit tells you what was planted in you. The fruit of your life tells you what your beliefs are. The fruit in your life also uncovers what your behaviors are. The fruit in your life reveals a past experience that happened in your life. So the fruit on your tree of life, whether it's debt, whether it's you can't stick with a career, there's certain people you just don't want to be around all the time, you keep breaking up with people, you got self-destructive habits. If that fruit is on your tree, it simply is showing that something was planted inside of your environment. And all that's happening is it keeps reproducing itself because somebody is not doing the job of clearing out a pruning time that is very important for all seasons. Every season, every year, one of the seasons is pruning. So how does this look? How many of you have fear on your tree? Fear of what? So we have fear of people. Who said fear of people? Okay. What else? I can't hear you. You got to talk a little louder. Fear of failure. I could understand that one. Fear of failure. Okay. Okay, my newest students, I want to hear from you. What? Come on, tell me. What kind of fear or what is on your tree of life? Fear of being alone, fear of commitment. Okay? Fear of commitment. Being alone. Fear of success. Fear of change. Fear of rejection. We didn't get that one down there. Fear of loss. Yes, the unknown. So these things show up on our tree of life. Would you say that each one of these things, we have fear of people, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of commitment, fear, I can't read my change, fear of success, I can't read my writing, fear of being alone, fear of the unknown, fear of loss. Would you say all of those things that is on this tree of life would be rather controlling? Would these things on your tree of life control your decisions? Would it control what kind of career you go for? Would it control the fear of commitment? Would it control whether or not to get married? And if you are married, it controls whether or not you go all in on that marriage. Would fear of success stop you from trying new things and taking new risks? Absolutely. Fear controls your mind, controls your actions. But see, something was the beginning of planting the seed of fear. And when that seed of fear was planted in the right environment, that where there was agreement between the seed and the soil, a whole new belief system began. Then you start behaving like the seed that was planted. So let me just do an example. Okay, I need a nice little brand new student, never been here before. Brand new students, your first time in my class. Okay, but what are you afraid of? Yeah, no, you stay right there. I have to pick someone that fits my tree over here. Okay, who suffers from fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of being alone, fear of the unknown? That young man that's still standing is, I'm just afraid. So are these things that you battle with all the time? I'm looking for an extreme case. I'm not looking for a sometimes case. Get up here, young man. Give him a hand as he heads up. What's your name?
My name is Mark.
I'm Mrs. Biscanetti.
Hi, Miss Biscanetti.
You did a good job. Somehow I don't think you're from Boston, but it's all right. You can still say Biscanetti. You want to try it again?
Hi, Miss
Biscanetti.
Biscanetti.
You got it. Absolutely perfect. I like the way you say that. I like your entire ensemble today. You look great.
Thank you.
Took a lot of courage to come up here, you know.
Well, yes.
Yes. Especially now that you're up here, huh? Mm-hmm. You're wondering if you made a good decision or not, huh?
I think I did.
You think you did. Okay,
yes.
That's good. All right, so I'm going to ask you a series of questions. I want you to write down my series of questions that I'm asking. Because whatever fruit you see in your life, you have to understand this one simple concept. It all came from a seed. The fruit in your life came from a seed. So the key is to go find what seed was planted where. What agreement was made with that planting of that seed? What belief systems came out of that experience? And then you'll see your behaviors, which your behaviors is the fruit on the tree. Okay? All right, so young man, which one of those fears are your like biggest fears?
My biggest fear is fear of acceptance.
Okay. So it's a fear of not being accepted, which means that rejection.
Yes.
Fear of rejection. Okay. So here, what I want you to do is I want you to think back as far as you can. You know, from 0 to 6 years old, your entire adult personality was formed. From 0 to 6. From birth to 6. So we're going to go back there. Not teen life, not 20s life, but way back there, okay? So okay. I'm going to ask you a question. When was the first time you can remember feeling rejected?
That's a tough question. In my childhood years?
Yep. So give me a time. Who was there? What happened?
My parents.
So tell me, why do you feel or fear rejection? Why do you feel that way?
Because I had to do a lot of things to please people.
So you're saying if you don't please people, they won't like you?
Yes.
So tell me more about that.
Well, my belief system is, it comes from...
I want you to go back to a time. First of all, answer this question. Why do you fear being rejected today? There's a lot of thoughts going through your head. Let them out your mouth. There's no wrong answer. Why do you feel, as a man today, why do you fear rejection? Why do you fear not being accepted?
Well, there's a lot of thoughts going through my mind, and pointing it to a certain instance is tough for me. Right now, I'm not sure I can do that.
You can do all things. So speak. Speak what's the thought in your mind.
The fear comes from what I have seen in my life that would be fear of rejection from leaving. From disappointing my parents, that I got to do everything to please my parents. So that's, and the reason for why do I have to please my parents is it's a belief system.
But why do you have to please your parents?
I don't.
Why do you have to believe? Why do you believe that you have to please your parents?
Because I'm told that I have to honor my parents, and that's been manipulated to you've got to do everything that your parents do.
So if you don't do what your parents do, then you're not honoring your parents.
Yes.
So if you don't do it their way, then you're not honoring your parents.
Yes.
So what if you don't honor your parents? Then what happens?
Then I'm not obeying the Ten Commandments.
And so if you're not obeying the Ten Commandments, then what happens?
Then it's fear of rejection from God.
So if you are human and you make a mistake, then God is going to get you.
Yes.
And he's going to reject you.
Yes.
And if God rejects you, what's the outcome?
I will be cast into hell.
So your fear of rejection is actually fear of hell. Burning in a lake of fire for all of eternity.
You're right.
So let's go back to that time when you were super young. You did something wrong. What was said to you?
You've got to obey me.
Keep going. Was there an or else?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand.
If you don't obey, then what?
Then I will be rejected. You're not good enough.
Keep going. What were the words that were said? You need to obey me or you're going to hell?
No.
Then what was said?
You've got to obey me. That's you've got to.
No other conversation.
Well, there might have been some discipline.
Like? What do you mean, might have been?
Well, there was some discipline. There was consequences coming to follow up on that. If you don't obey, then there's consequences.
What were the consequences?
A spanking.
Okay. After the spanking, then what?
Then you went and did it.
You went and did what?
Whatever you were supposed to.
Okay. So was there any encouragement after the spanking?
No.
What were some other words that were spoken over you? How did you feel when you disobeyed and were not encouraged?
Not very good.
Tell me more about that.
I obeyed out of fear. I had to do it.
So obedience out of fear, is that willingness to obey?
No.
So you didn't have a heart that wanted to obey. But fear was the manipulator, the driver to obey. Was there reward for obedience?
No.
So no reward for obedience, only correction for disobedience. That's how fear gets planted. It's rejection. Now, his parents are loving, godly people. Doing the best they can. Simply didn't understand that the child was feeling condemned and condemned to hell. There's a lot of you in here right now that can identify with this young man. Who here can identify with his upbringing? So now obedience is driven by fear. Is that real obedience? And is that the obedience we really want from our children? So here's what happens. Now, from simply asking the question, why do you feel that people are going to reject you? Is it really people? No, it's the fear of being condemned. It's the fear of doing something bad. It's the fear of doing something wrong. And ultimately, God being the one that rejects you. Now, how did we get there? Let me have that. So first of all, things that happen inside of our childhood. From loving parents doing the very best that they know how to do. Trust me, they're on their trial run. All parents are on a trial run. But here, because of a lack of communication, a lack of encouragement, in the midst of teaching and training of us when we were young. So now our 0 to 6-year-old mind says, I must obey or I'm going to hell. This also says, I'm a bad boy. I can't do anything right. I better not screw up again. Did you feel pressure as a little kid living in the household you grew up in?
Yes.
Did you feel a lot of pressure to be perfect?
Yes.
Is there anybody out there has ever felt pressure to be perfect? So this pressure to be perfect creates this fear of making mistakes. Not an environment of encouragement or creativity, but instead condemnation. So our eyes get blinded, and now all we can see is I am going to be rejected. I am not good enough. The very words that he said, I am not good enough. Why do I keep messing up? Have you ever said those words to yourself?
Yes.
Why can't I get it right? Have you ever said those words to yourself?
Yes.
Because that is what fear says. That's what the program and the belief says. So here, mom and dad doing the best they can, but here we have a 6-year-old mind that is perceiving life. a four-year-old mind that is perceiving life and making lifelong decisions for the rest of eternity about themselves and about their identity. So blinded by a little kid perception of life and of themselves and who they are. More importantly, who they're not. So then fear begins to tie up our arms and our hands. And then when it comes to now I'm growing up, I got to find a career for myself. What if I end up with a boss that sees I make mistakes? What if I can't do with my hands what I need to do to be able to provide for a family one day? What if whatever my hands touch turns into a mess like it has my entire life? God forbid there's a desire deep down inside to become an entrepreneur, maybe start a business, to create wealth, to leave a legacy. It's all grated up against the seed that was planted that says, you're a disappointment. You're not good enough. You can't ever do anything right. Why can't you do this? So now the hands become filled with bondage and say, I'm not even going to try. It's not even worth it. So then here comes the ropes around our feet. So now fear says, don't even go to that seminar. Don't even try to invest in something. Don't even try to use war on debt. You're just going to screw it up anyway. Don't even try to use form or gems. You're too stupid. You can't do anything right. You don't know how to follow directions, you lame duck. You've been stupid your whole life. So your feet are tied up, your hands are tied up, and you are blinded. And blinded by what? Seed that was planted. Now, if you would ask his parents might say, no, we encouraged him, we encouraged him. That's their perception of what they think they did. But all he chose to hear, was, I can't do anything right. I'm a disappointment. I should have never been born. God's going to reject me and I'm going to hell. Why? He's a little kid making those decisions. But so interesting that here he is. How old are you, young man?
21.
Here he is at 21, still carrying the fear of rejection, even though he's not under his parents' rule any longer. But unless he follows the fruit to the root, that will be on your test. Follow the fruit to the root. Unless he and you and I follow the fruit to the root, guess what will keep reproducing itself? The same exact experience. So how do we do this? First of all, you become self-aware that I am carrying the fear of rejection. What is the point of that? Now your eyes can see because you take the blindfolds off. I just watched the young man look at his hands and he saw some bondage tied around his hands. You see, when you're blind, you can't see what bondage you're actually living in. When you're blind, you can't see the bad habits you actually have. You can't see how you're making decisions. You can't see the destruction you actually are putting in your life. More importantly, the people's lives that are around you. You can't see it when you're blind. Because this is all you're seeing through. And you can't see through it. But as soon as the blind has come off, and you follow the fruit, you look at the fruit on your tree and go, okay, wow, that crap is on my tree of life. Do I like it? Do you like the fear of rejection? Do you like living that way? No. So when you see that it's there, now you can handle it. Now you can deal with it. And that's when you go, hold on one second. So I'm allowing fear to dictate. I'm allowing my six-year-old mind to dictate what I do with my life. This makes no sense. I'm allowing the fear of rejection, the fear of not pleasing my parents. I'm allowing the fear of not being good enough and making a mistake, continuously looking like an a-hole in front of everybody, dictate what I do for a living, who I decide to date, where I decide to live, and what dreams I choose not to go after. All because of a six-year-old perspective on life. From decisions I made as a child. that do not determine my future. Where else do you have some bondage there, young man? You got hands that are now free. I think you can untie yourself. So sometimes it needs a little help to help somebody take the blinders off and maybe take your hands out of the chains. But then it's up to you from there to find out where that bondage is and untie yourself. And no longer walk in that kind of bondage. You can go back to your seat. Give him a hand. So it's all connected. Whatever the fruit is on your tree of life, you follow the fruit to the root. And you ask yourself a series of questions. Why do I feel this way right now? Why do I feel this way right now? Second question, when was the first time I felt this way? Go back to 0 to 6 years old. If you can't go back there, then start 5 years ago and then keep going, keep going. When was the first time? Look for the first time. And at the first time, you're going to find people there. And in this case, the people were the parents who he could choose to hate for the rest of his life, or he could choose to realize that his parents were practicing just like all parents are and simply repeating the seed that was planted in them. Because that's the involuntary growth. Do you understand? His parents, because of not having the self-awareness, knew that they didn't want to maybe raise the kids the way they were raised. However, comma, we end up reproducing the same exact cycle if we don't follow the root fruit to the root and kill the root system. You have to kill the root system. If you don't kill the root system, guess what? You repeat it. Some people try to prune their tree. What happens when you prune a tree? You get more growth. So what I mean by that, you try to change your behavior. That's pruning a tree. Go ahead, have fun with trying to change your behavior. You're going to drive yourself crazy. And you're going to produce more bad fruit. Why? Because it's pruning. That which you prune back reproduces more and more and more. And this is why people in their 50s are more bitter than those that are in their 20s. This is why people in their 60s are more bitter than those who are in their 30s. This is why people in their 70s are more bitter than those who are in their 40s. We get more and more bitter, more and more in bondage, more and more closed-minded, more and more hard-hearted the older that we get. And why? Because that's all the involuntary growth that's coming off of our tree over and over again, over and over again, and choking the life right out of us. We're getting more hateful as time goes on, more jealous as time goes on. And then we spew that seed in our children's children's children. So you have an assignment right now. Volunteers, go. And that assignment is you're going to evaluate your fruit on your tree. What fruit do you have in your life? When you go through this form called finding your fruit, the next thing I want you to do with that form is I want you to ask yourself a question. When was the first? Why do I feel this way? Is question number one. Say this with me. Why? Why? Number two, volunteers, go ahead and pass them out. Go. 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 Pass them out. You already got them. How do you already have them? They gave you two at one time? Oh, some of you guys got two at one time. Wow, they were thinking ahead a little bit, eh? So here's the deal. You check off every box that's two-sided. That sheet, finding your fruit is two-sided. Check every box of the fruit that's on your tree. Be as honest with yourself as possible. Do not defend yourself with this sheet because, again, the defense is blindfolded. Arguing your position, you're blindfolded. You're missing it. You don't have eyes to see. So use the eyes that you've just been given to see. Check every box that applies to you that is really glaring fruit that's in your life. And then I want you to ask yourself this question. Why do I feel this way? Why do I feel afraid of other people? Why do I feel like I got to argue my point? Because those two things are on there. Why do I fear that I'm going to fail? Why do I fear success? Whatever the fruit is, ask yourself why, and then when. When was the first time I felt this way? And then who? So why, when, who? Why, when, who? You got to stay after class and take care of this.
Are on the road, must have a code that you can live by.
Okay.
And yeah. So become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh, and know they love you.
And you, of tender years, can't know the fears that your elders grew by. And so please help them with your youth. They see the truth before they can die.
Teach your parents well. Their children's hell will slowly go by.
I went to Nordstrom's, head in that counter.
Dude, where do you want to go for lunch?
In the mall.
Oh, I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm up for anything except sandwiches.
Yeah, I
kind of
want some hot dogs. Swap me $5.
Well, yeah, when are you going to pay me back?
Bark is my favorite color.
Yeah, all right, cool.
I always buy like three. I get three. Just in case they ever run out. Yes. I would freak out. Oh, my gosh. Do you have your makeup done? No. No. Look, no. I just changed to eyeliner.
Really?
Like, how? Red eyeliner, dry with a angled brush.
Really? I've got like all of the brushes.
You can't hear your true desires. You can't discern what's right from wrong. What's up from down, black or white, what's best or worst. So much competing for our time, competing for your mind, for your mouth, your actions. So much going on. There's no peace, there's no stillness. Everything is now. Fast, react, hurry. All you've been programmed for creates traffic. Takes up space, takes up thought, takes up action. Can you feel the stress? Can you feel the tension? Reacting to everything that is all around you. You can't think. You can't breathe. Looking for answers and can't find the answers. Can't discern truth from lies. Confusion, confusion, confusion. Go, go, go. Now, now, now. But where? Can't make conscious decisions. All you have is an unconscious reaction. Now the law of decision is overtaken by the law of indecision. This is your life. This is how you live. Utter chaos.
What drives you? What drives you to do what you do? Who really is in control? Do you even know what you think about half the time? Are you even aware of the decisions that you make every minute of every day? Or is there so much programming that has happened in your lifetime that has caused traffic? Where you can't think clearly. You don't know up from down. You don't know where you're going. And you don't know where you've been.
Firstborn, I wish you were a boy.
Daughter, my daughter, you are insignificant. Insignificant.
Hey, sister. Do you ever look in the mirror? You're so ugly.
My sister, but you're still annoying.
Why are you so slow? What is wrong with you?
Afraid, a wimp, you're weak.
Always the guilty one.
You're such a bad girl.
Dumb just, shit.
Just not good enough. Inadequate.
Jealous?
Such a bad student. Learn anything?
Unlovable.
You're arrogant. You have nothing to be arrogant about.
You are a failure.
It's always about you. You're so selfish.
You're going to be such a bad wife.
You stole my happiness. You're a thief.
You whore.
Such a liar. Can't trust anything.
Oh, right. You're neglected.
Why are you so fat? Take care of yourself.
You are a bad daughter. Bad.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
You're just bad.
Why do you want so much attention all the time?
Such a disappointment.
Never amount to anything. You're so useless.
You're just not good enough.
Just straight up evil.
Just so damn stupid.
My firstborn! But you're so ugly. My second born! Oh, but you're kind of useless. I have so many other things I need to do. My third born! Oh, yeah, but you're kind of stupid. My fourth born! Oh, wait. I didn't want another one. I wanted another girl. Again? Kind of inadequate. And completely insignificant. Tramp.
thief. You're kind of dumb. When are you going to get it? Oh, and, well, you want way too much attention, and you are such a bad girl, and you're fat. And you are slow and afraid and such a wimp and such a sissy. You should be ashamed of yourself. And liar. And freaking annoying. You know you're guilty. You know what you did. You are such disappointed. Straight up evil. You're neglected. Yeah, right. You're always jealous of everyone else's success. And you're just not good enough. It's not what it, and you're going to be a bad wife. And yes, the arrogance all over you with all that confidence is ridiculous. And I'm so sorry, but you're just not lovable. Just, and you're just selfish, always wanting more, and just a bad boy. Bad daughter. Bad student. Yes. Yes.
Selfish. You're neglected. You got too much attention.
Quiet. You're failing.
Let's go to appointment.
That's you have quiet.
Shameful.
Selfish.
Guilty.
From the first generation to the second generation to then that third generation, planting that seed of labels. What labels are you wearing that didn't just come from your parents, but your great, great grandparents? What labels have you chosen to carry, to live in, to wear, and then put on? Your family, your coworkers, the same judgments that you put on your spouse, your kids, yourself. What labels are you wearing? Write down three. And write down how you have lived those out. How do those labels manifest themselves in your life? How many of you have identified with the labels and you have the fruit of the labels in your life? The fruit reproduces itself continuously. And there's one way that I have found to address it. These belief systems that we've built all by ourselves from the time we were very young had come through people's frustration, through trauma, bad experiences, and they begin to shape who we are, but that isn't who we have to stay being. We don't have to stay there. So the first thing is identifying the fruit that's in our life and taking personal responsibility for our part in that fruit, because we're the only ones producing that fruit. As we've identified it, you have to loosen the soil that's around the root system, because that soil gets really hard all around those roots to help to protect the roots. But if you're protecting the wrong roots, you're going to have to loosen up that soil. And that happens through the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness loosens up the soil right around those roots that are so deeply ingrained. And some of those roots, by the way, are generational roots. Some of you simply are a tree that's been rooted in the same place for generations before you. Many of us are not just a new tree. We are just simply the fruit that fell not far from the tree. So we're going to loosen up the fruit, loosen up the roots through an exercise that you got familiar with at First Steps to Success, but we're going to do it a little different and a little bit more intense. Now, if you can pull out your sheet, the very first one from the programmer, where you had written out, in fact, Jan, can I get that form, please? I don't have the programmer's form. So the fruit, beliefs that you have, thank you, but you need one, don't you? You've got it. So what have I been programmed to believe? And you already got it. You were to write one belief that you have about each topic listed below. Now what I want you to do is I want you to circle every non-beneficial belief. Because you all wrote different things about each one of these topics. So circle each one that is non-beneficial. It's the kind of seed you don't want to reproduce in your life. So once you have those circled, those are the ones that you want to attack this weekend. And if there's too many, pick three. Maybe double circle the most important ones. That these belief systems, because those belief systems will continue after creating a dynasty if you are not serious about uprooting those seeds, those roots that were planted that created those deep root systems. And I am absolute living proof that that happens, that you can. I am living proof standing on this stage before you, involved in your life, you involved in my life, that when you follow the fruit to the root, no matter what was planted, you have a say in whether or not you continue to produce that bad fruit. And you came here this weekend for a change. You came here to not stay the same. You came here to ratify certain things in your life. You're the only one that can determine what that's going to be. So out of circling all the non-beneficial beliefs that you have about yourself, about people, about marriage, whatever area that you have beliefs that are not beneficial to you, that's not seed you want to keep planting in the ground, that's not fruit you want to continue to live in, then I want you to really highlight the three most important ones that you're going to attack here this weekend. Now what I want you to do is take a couple of minutes and I want you to write down what the fruit is in your life from those three things. From that belief, what fruit is in your life from those three main things? How does it manifest itself? Where is it showing up, that belief? For example, let's say that you have a certain belief about men and you are married to a man. And your belief about men is that you cannot trust them. That belief doesn't come from the current man in your life. That belief comes from way back when, an experience that you had with past men. So that belief is not a beneficial belief in your marriage. How many would agree if that was you, that's not a beneficial belief to the marriage? It is also not a beneficial belief to who? Your sons. It's not a beneficial belief to also your boss. or the president of the United States who's currently a man. Do you understand? You will view every man from your belief system, the blindness of your belief. Let me give you one that I think most of us could work on. I'm just going to teeter on the edge a little bit here. How many of you come from a broken family or you are an unplanned pregnancy? Okay, wave at me. Nothing to be ashamed of. Look, it's most of the room, which is so crazy. Most of the room came from a broken home or were an unplanned pregnancy. So that's a seed that was planted that I'm unwanted, and it's a seed of rejection and abandonment in most cases. When mom and dad got a divorce, there's a ripping of your soul because you were part of the one flesh that they came together to make. So there's a ripping at the identity of the person. And that tearing creates all kinds of insecurity and the fear of being abandoned again. So therefore, you have a hard time making commitment. You have a hard time trusting. And if you've been abandoned in your life, which how many of you have ever been abandoned or rejected before? Most of us. So when that happens, we feel like no one hears us. We were a kid who cried and no one heard. We had feelings, we were taught to stuff them. Instead of given the honor and the space to express our emotions. Our emotions were controlled. So we feel unheard. And people who feel unheard continuously reiterate the same point over and over and over and over again and talk over people over and over and over and over again and still feel like no one is hearing them. They're continuously trying to close and convince and argue, and or they flip on the other side and defend, 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 defend. All from an experience as a child of the tearing in their soul of abandonment from a divorce. Now, some of you have gotten divorced and you had kids, and right now you're feeling really bad. This isn't about your kids right now. This is about you. This is about you. You work on you, then the healing can come for the kids. If you don't fix you, you can forget about anything happening for those kids, through you anyway. God will find another way. So if you've circled your non-beneficial beliefs and you're writing down, how has this affected my life? How have these three non-beneficial beliefs, how have they manifested themselves? Where are they manifesting themselves? Take 5 minutes and write that out. How many of you can see that those three non-beneficial beliefs are having a major impact on your life? Are those beliefs causing decisions that are not helpful? How many of you have tried to change the behaviors? How well is that working? It's not. It just leads to failure every time. So keep that paper in hand of what you've been programmed to believe. And you had names at the bottom that you could write down of who programmed you. There are people that planted these programs inside of you. Now pick up that paper, as the paper with the finding your fruit. Now if you were to look at that paper and look at your beliefs, you would find they go together. They go together. So I said to write down why I feel this way, when was the first time I felt this way, who was there, why, when, who. Did you guys come up with some names? How many have some names on your paper of who was there? So this now gives you your list of who you need to forgive. Because who was there was part of the environment of planting that seed. That's what created the environment for this seed to be planted, where the seed came from them, from their mouth to your ears, that set up this belief system that you now have fed for some of you 10 years, some of you 20 years, some of you 40 years, some of you 50 years, some of you 60 years, that you have fed the wrong root system. You have fed and fertilized all the seed you don't want in your life. So the names that are on the list between who programmed you and Follow the fruit to the root. Who was there when the seed was planted? Now with those lists, create a list of 5 people. Pull from those 2 pieces of paper, on a separate piece of paper, 5 people you need to forgive. If you connect these, if these are all connected, can you see where we're going with this? We're going directly to the fruit that you don't want any longer in your life. How did it get there? From a seed that was planted. So that's following the fruit to the root system. Tonight is where we put the Roundup on the weeds. Right now, we're loosening, the roots. Right now, we're loosening the soil. Tonight, at 7 o'clock, or 6:30, sorry, tonight at 6:30, this is where the Roundup, the weed, the root killer is going to come out. And you'll learn the next step of how to completely eradicate, completely destroy, annihilate those roots so they don't keep producing the fruit you don't want. So 5 names. Those 5 names are in those roots. And we're going to apply the power of forgiveness to all the soil that is around it. Get that stuff loosened up, and then you're going to kill it. How many of you would like to not keep producing the same crap in your life? How many of you would like to have a whole new belief system in its place? Right? Imagine if your beliefs were completely flipped upside down from the ones that you have right now. Right? It works the same way, doesn't it? Good seed. How many of you have good fruit in your life? Yes. Why? Because there was good seed planted also. That's why. There's great things that have happened in your life. There's great habits that you have. There's great mindsets that you have as well. You haven't gotten this far without some good seed that was planted in you as well. At your last first step success and however many you've been to, lots of seed has been planted in you. Guess what? These next 3 days, you're going to have so much seed poured in you. We're going to loosen up this soil, get the rocks out, remove the thorns and the thistles, toil that soil so that it gets nice and airy, right? No longer hard, and it's going to be fertile. By the time we're done, you'll be fertile ground with really good seed planted in it. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be some other roots. Hey, you have a lot of belief systems there. 6 months from now, we'll do this again. And for some of us, we're going to keep doing this until we die. Why? Because life in itself causes the ground to get hard. That's how it goes. How many of you have noticed that as people get older, they get harder? They don't get more faith-filled. They don't get more joyous. The natural tendency of us humans in today's world is we get worse through life, not better. Which means that right now you're the best you're ever going to be on that 98% plan. Did you hear what I just said? You're the best you're ever going to be if you follow the 98% plan right now. This is it. This is it. Your better days are behind you. I choose not to live the way 98% lives, and I will not be the family that I've watched before me. My grandmother, miserable, evil, freaking abusive woman, the older she got, and died, leaving what? Nothing but bad memories at every family reunion that is talked about. What will be your legacy? A drunk who was hateful and no one to be around? That's my grandmother's legacy. But that will not be mine. Will not be mine. And nor will mine be my mother's. No way. Rather grow weed and do drugs than be engaged with your family. What will be yours? You're going to write yours this weekend. So the 5 names that are directly connected to the 5 non-beneficial beliefs, that's directly connected to the root system that has plagued your life. Let's attack it. Five names. When you're done with the list of five names, then you're going to write down five things you need to forgive yourself for. Five things you need to forgive yourself for that are tied to those non-beneficial beliefs and the fruit on your tree of life. It's all tied together. So what are five direct things, right? You wrote down beliefs that are non-beneficial, right? And you wrote down how they are manifesting themselves in your life. Are those manifestations good? No. You're involved with them. So this is what you need to be forgiven for. Five things you need to be forgiven for. Check your cell phones. Turn them off. Okay, now you have somebody that's sitting right next to you. Can you grab their hand? That is your partner. Keep holding the hand of your partner, please. If you do not have a partner, stand to your feet quickly. If you do not have a partner, stand to your feet quickly. Now look around and find your partner and go sit with them somewhere. I don't care where. Just start moving. Start moving. They're everywhere. People are standing. Start moving towards each other. Point and say, "You're my partner." Everyone has to have a partner. Move quickly, please. Don't look for someone you want to be a partner with. Just grab the first breathing human. Don't look for who you want to work with right now. That's not the instruction. Daniel, do you need a partner? Huh? Oh, we can get you Kleenex. Kleenex on aisle 17, please. Okay, you got your partners. Everyone has a partner. One of you, raise your hand. You are person A. You get to go first. Now, here's how this is going to go. Your partner is person B, and person B is going to stand what I call in proxy on behalf of the list of five things, five people. So that person's going to switch from man to woman a couple of different times, right? So again, they're just standing in the gap, if you will, because that individual is not here, and them not being here is not an excuse as to you not taking the step to forgive. Now, how many of you forgave somebody at your last first steps to success? Did you feel the release from doing that? Okay? This is going to be far more powerful, and it's going to be much more deeper. I want you to go at this with everything you have. Everything you have, go at it. Now, at First Step Success, I introduced you to a concept called judgment. You see, that which we judge, we become what we judge. We are actually yoked the very way that we judge, in the same measure that we judge, we become that judgment. I'm going to say that again. We become what we judge. Because judgment is seed. Judgment is seed. And we will reap what we sow. So with judgment, just as quickly as we sow it, we can quickly cancel it. We sow it with our mouths, we have to renounce it with our mouths, okay? Renouncing means to cancel as though it never even existed, okay? So we're going to take personal responsibility for our judgments that we've made against these five people, because where there is unforgiveness, there is always judgment. Did you hear me? Where there is unforgiveness, there is judgment. Always. You're the judge saying the person doesn't deserve, the action in which they did does not deserve forgiveness. So you're playing the judge. instead of letting God be the judge. All right, so just to remind you of what you did at First Step Success by yourself, you're going to turn to your partner. Person A is going to look at person B and say, I forgive you, Bob, even if it's a woman. You're going to talk directly to them as though that they're just the placeholder for Bob. I forgive you, Bob, for stealing my girlfriend in the third grade. I felt, and this is so important, so I forgive you. The second one is I felt betrayed and hurt. I thought you were my friend and you deeply hurt me. Not you made me feel, because who's in charge of your feelings? You're in charge of your feelings. No one else is in charge of your feelings. You choose to feel. So I felt, so you don't take your feelings and put them on someone else. Do you hear me? No one can make you feel anything, and everyone feels different. Do you understand? In any given scenario, everyone has different feelings. So I felt is taking ownership of your own feelings, not you made me feel. Okay? If you actually grab that one concept, your entire life would change. The root of all accusations is taking no personal responsibility for your feelings. It's putting your feelings on someone else and giving them control over you. So this is where the birth of accusations is. You made me feel. No one has control over your feelings. When you put that on someone else, you now have empowered that person to control your feelings, your thoughts, and your emotions. You've been given and born with power and authority over all of your emotions, all of your feelings, and your thoughts. You have power and authority over your thoughts, emotions, and feelings. And beliefs create emotions. Beliefs create emotions. That's where all your emotions come from, is your beliefs. So, I forgive you, Bob, for stealing my girlfriend in the third grade. I felt betrayed by you and deeply hurt. Could have been a toy or whatever. You killed my dog. Okay, whatever. Whoever's on the list and for whatever for. So I forgive you. I felt. Own it. Did you hear me? Leaders, own it. You own your own crap. You will never become a great leader if you don't own your own crap. Own your own feelings. Own the crap from your past. Own it. I felt. I forgive. I felt. And right now, I renounce the judgment that I've had against you all these years. So I forgive, felt, renounce. That means I'm canceling the judgment. I release you. You owe me nothing. And then bless. Okay? I forgive. I felt. I renounce. I release. You owe me nothing, and I bless you. Okay? I forgive. I felt. I renounce the judgment. I release you. You owe me nothing, and I bless you. And then I want you to speak blessing, new seed, over Bob. Okay? This will take about 5 minutes for you to do. All right? So person A, you need to talk the entire time. The entire 5 minutes. Get through as many of them as you can. Don't rush it. The first one might be the most important one to camp on for a while. And it might not be. Okay? I forgive. What's number two? I felt. Number three. I renounce the judgment. Number four. I release you. You owe me nothing. Number five. I bless you. And then I want you to speak blessing. On your mark, get set, go. Okay, that was your 5-minute bell. Now, person B, actually, person A, I want you to continue with now your 5 confessions. Do it in the same way. I am forgiving myself for I have felt, and I am renouncing the judgment I have against myself. I'm breaking the judgment I have against myself. I release myself for fully, and I'm blessing myself, and begin to speak blessing over yourself. Go. Okay, person B, raise your hand. It's your turn. Start with the 5 people that you need to forgive. You have 5 minutes. You need to talk for the entire time. The entire 5 minutes. There's no personal conversations that are happening in these 5 minutes. The person that is listening, that's all you're doing is listening. You're not comforting. You're not counseling. You're not giving advice. You are just sitting there as the person that's on the list. Okay? Talk the entire time. If you're getting done fast, you're not giving this your best shot. The more you get involved with the emotions and the feelings of this pain that's inside of you, that's the only thing that's the doorway into the freedom. That's it. So if you don't allow yourself to go there, that's you. So keep talking until it comes. Keep talking about how it felt. Touch the feelings. Don't stay away from the feelings. The feelings is the gateway to the freedom. It's the gateway that brought the pain. Do you understand? So it's the gateway to take you out of the pain. So you got to go back to the pain. So person B, 5 minutes the whole time. This is who you are forgiving. Go. Again, listen carefully. You're not explaining what happened to the person that's listening. They are the person who did it. Do you hear me? You're not saying, well, my mom did da da da. No. If your mom is on the list, I forgive you, mom. Do you hear me? So this is not... If you're explaining what happened, you're gossiping right now. So it's whoever's name is on the list, that person that is your partner, they are being that person. I forgive you, mom. For I felt. Okay, go for it. Awesome job. Awesome job. You guys are doing so good. Okay, so now it's your turn to confess. Person B, it's confession time. You're going to confess. And again, listen. Get to that place of how it felt to do what you did that you knew you weren't supposed to do. Do you understand? You go back. Have the courage to go back to that feeling because it's in that place where there is healing. Don't stay away from it. It seems like it's going to be scary, but I promise you, that's where the healing comes, and that's where you'll start to get revelation, and you'll start to feel healing there. Mm-hmm. So and it is especially, we live in a culture that hates themselves mm-hmm. and manifests it in a lot of different ways. Self-hate is manifested through obesity. Self-hate is manifested through all addictions. We carry shame and guilt because of self-hate. How we won't allow ourselves to succeed. If you are one that self-sabotages, you get close to success and then you cut it off, that's self-hate. Okay, so you won't allow yourself to be loved. You won't allow yourself to be accepted. You put yourself down. That's self-rejection. When you carry self-rejection, you reject everyone else around you. You won't go deep in intimate relationships, both in business and personal. Okay, so this self-hate thing gets healed when we allow ourselves to be fully forgiven. When we forgive ourselves and we release ourselves, and especially we so harshly judge ourselves. I promise you, your God doesn't look at you the way you look at you. He doesn't. He's proud of who he made the very same way he made it. And you've been trying to change what he made probably most of your life. Because of self-rejection. Why? Seed that others planted, you chose to believe, you created the environment for the belief, and you have fed that thing. Yep. Okay? So it's time to forgive yourself. Really talk about how I forgive myself because I have felt, let the words fly. Even if you feel like you got to scream, I don't care. If you get out of control, I don't care. I don't care. Go. Awesome. Person A, raise your hand. You are going to ask person B. You're going to look them in the eyes and you're going to ask them, do you fully forgive, release, and bless yourself and all the names you mentioned today? Go. Person B asks the same question. It's your turn to ask person B. Yes. Shh. By the way, that was a close. That was a closing question. Brings closure versus leaving things open-ended. You're asking for a decision. I just gave you words, a closing statement, a closing question that brings it closed. That's what closing is about, is bringing closure to something. We're going to work on closing throughout this whole weekend. Now, person A, you are going to take up an oath with person B, and you are going to say, everything you shared with me, I make a covenant with you, will never leave my mouth. And I leave it right here. Okay, are you ready? Leaders have got to walk in covenant relationships, not conditional relationships, but covenant relationships. That no matter what, you hold that covenant. So you're going to say, looking person B in the eyes, everything you shared with me, I make a covenant with you now, stays right here, will never leave my lips. For I know I will reap what I sow. Go for it. And vice versa, person A, say the same exact thing. Everything you shared with me, I make a covenant with you now, never leaves my lips. I know I will reap what I sow. Amazing work. Now listen, I know some of you just stared at your paper. I know some of you just couldn't, you chose not to participate. And that's okay. Next time, you'll go a little further in. Next time, a little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. And once you hang out here for a while, you're going to chase after your healing. Because you don't want to keep it the same anymore. So it's okay. It's okay. Wherever it is that you are at in your journey, it's okay. I do not judge you for not being willing to jump in that pool of pain. I don't judge you for that. I understand how painful it is. But once you do it, you get more courage to keep going and to keep going and to keep going. Now I want you to pull out your piece of paper that the programmer gave you. And you're going to turn that paper over. And take a few minutes. Let's start with five. That piece of paper has a new blueprint that you're going to write of beliefs. And it says, what I choose to believe about myself. What I choose to believe about people, what I choose to believe about. Go through the list. Let's start with 5 minutes. What will you choose? What seed will you choose to plant within yourself? What will you choose to believe about work and career and money and men and women and marriage and kids? What will be the beliefs you choose to have? Just start writing. I don't know if you read the top of it. It says, do not be mentored by your past. Most of us are being mentored by our past. We are writing right now, right this minute, you are writing your future. You are writing the new tree of life that you are living in. You're going to have more time if you're not finished with that. But what I want you first to do is I want you to take your list of the five things you forgave yourself for and the five things that you forgave those five people for. Grab that piece of paper. And I want you to just, with everything you got, roll that piece of dirt up. Just with everything you got, and I want you to throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Just throw it. Come on. Come on. Come on. With everything you got, let's just tear up the room. Throw it. Just throw it. Come on, hit me. Come on. Yes. Woo is right. The sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west, you choose not to remember it anymore. As far as the east is from the west, you choose not to remember it anymore. It is trash. It is trash, and you have trashed it. You have a homework assignment right now to do by yourself. Listen carefully. You're going to take that list of things, of what you choose to believe, as well as those non-beneficial beliefs. You're going to write down five things that you need to change. I'm going to show you how to walk through a process. Your mind is so powerful, so powerful. You have to think about all the things that the mind has been used to create. The kind of inventions that have changed the world forever have all happened inside of the mind, right? So that's what our mind has. I mean, come on, for man to fly an airplane, how many tons does an airplane weigh in it flying in the air? Think about that for 2 seconds, right? How is that possible? But that's how powerful your mind is. This weekend, you're going to learn how to use that powerful mind to do great things. One of the great things that you will learn to do here is how to solve problems. Remember at First Steps I said that the bigger the problems you can solve, the bigger the paycheck, right? And the best problems to solve are people problems. And where do you need to start? With you. You got to start with you. So you're going to write down five things that you need to change. And then write down one reason. So the question is why? Why do I need to change this? So one thing I need to change, and then why? So it's five things I need to change, five whys, and then five solutions. So it's one why per thing you need to change, and it's one solution per thing you need to change, okay? You're going to use the list that you wrote of your non-beneficial beliefs. Remember, I said we're going to attack three. The three that are going to be your focus this weekend to be done with. Right? To flip it over and choose to believe the other side of the thing. Okay? But I want you to write down five. Five things I need to change, five whys, five solutions. All right? So it's 15 lines total that you're going to be writing. You have lunch. Go by yourself. This is your time to have space to create an environment for you to grow in. Do you hear me? Even you sapphires who hate being alone, there is a time and place for everything, and there's a time and place for you to be alone so that you can create space to think about what you're going to do with your life. So five things that need to change, five why, five solutions. Your solutions are your future, okay? The why is right now. The five things that need to change are from your past. You're going to be back here at 1:25. Listen carefully. We're going to be back at 1:25. We will start at 1:30. But we're going to be done with starting late. You're going to show up 5 minutes early. So everyone's in this room, okay? Everyone be in the room at 1:25. We will begin the session again at 1:30. If you're here at 1:26, you're late, okay? Lunch options. You've been to this hotel before or you haven't. Perks, I don't know where it is, find it. They got salads and sandwiches for $10 and pizza that will make you fart for $14. You guys were awesome this morning. Thank you.